back into a wonderful new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are bringing you yet another amazing festival that is happening here in New York. We love continuing to discover these. And joining us to talk about this festival, we have the curators, Bonnie Sue Stein, Charles Krizel, and Roman Primitivo Albert. They're, of course, the curators of the Lungs Summer Theater Festival, which is happening June 8th through the 9th at 6B Garden, which is at Avenue B and 6th Street here in New York. And you can get more information by visiting lungsnyc.org. This is a very unique and fantastic festival, and I can't wait to learn more and to be sharing it with you. So let's jump right in and welcome on our guests, Bonnie, Charles, Roman. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you for inviting us.
I'm so happy you're all here. I cannot wait to learn more about this wonderful theater festival, the Lungs Summer Theater Festival. So Bonnie, why don't we start with you and have us tell us a little bit about what this festival is?
I would start with Charles, really, because Charles is the first organizer of the Lungs organization, which is for United, what is it, Lower East Side United Garden.
Lungs is Lower East Side United Neighborhood Gardens. Lower East Side of being Spanglish for Lower East Side. So Avenue C on the Lower East Side is called Lower East Side of Avenue. Actually, the street signs read Lower East Side of Avenue. So Lower East Side is sort of what we're calling our neighborhood. It's been the East Village, it's been Alphabet City. It's been a lot of bad names over the years. So Lower East Side is United Neighborhood Gardens. There are 50 community gardens within about a square mile on the Lower East Side, because in the 60s and the 70s, the city let the neighborhood burn, basically. There was fires, there was a lot of issues. People let buildings burn for insurance purposes. The people on the Lower East Side went to these vacant lots and converted them into community gardens. And so they still remain. Many of them are now community gardens still. We have still 50 of them. We've lost about 15 or 20 over the years, but we are trying to hold on to the gardens as open public green space for the community. And it strengthens the community and the city. And so Lungs was founded to promote the gardens, protect the gardens. And this festival is part of that. We feel that bringing free art into the gardens and allowing people to join the gardens free and see what go into the gardens to enjoy the art, have the pleasure of being outside, communing with each other and with nature, is a way of keeping the spaces open. And that's how we started this particular festival in the tradition of Joseph Papp, when he first had the first original Shakespeare, Free Shakespeare in the Park, which is actually on the Lower East Side in the amphitheater at East River Park. So we are trying to continue that history.
That is fantastic. I love hearing that. So Roman, jumping up to you, what was it like developing this year's festival?
Well, it's amazing. This is the third that we started doing this. And, you know, after the COVID, a lot of people, it was scared to go outside and touching. And the community, the sense of community started to get a little lost for obvious reason. Everybody was scared about, you know, the COVID. So the first year, it was some kind of surprise that we really have some money from the city, from the art city. And the second time, it was good. And this one, I think the city is more focused on, I don't know, the running for a president, a politician, to giving money to the culture. But answer your question, it's very nice because, first of all, we can speak out. And, you know, art is the best tool in order to liberate some people's minds, you know, and particular theater, because theater is like the beginning of maybe all art, you know, from Greek into Reina, and give it to the mass of people, to the public people, free theater. I think this is very nice, and I'm feeling very proud to do that. I'm working with those guys, they're amazing. Bonnie, Charles, Ricky, Eric, Marta.
That is wonderful. Now, Bonnie, coming back to you, I'm curious to know, how is it that you all select the pieces that are going to perform, particularly this year?
Well, you know, every year I'm probably the only one among us that I'm more of a producer than a performer, at least in these times. But you know, we wanna showcase works that our team creates. That's one thing, because among us, Charles and you know, as a playwright and Roman creates incredible masks and costumes and directs plays and multimedia. And you know, so we sort of start within our group and say, what do people want to do? And this year, Ricky Colon, who has done other things in the past, directed shows, is actually going to be our MC. And rather than doing a play, you know, or directing a play, either creating or directing. And I work with a puppeteer, my partner Vít Horace, in the Czechoslovak American Marionette Theater. And he has enjoyed performing the gardens for the past 25 years or so. So it was kind of natural to bring in projects from his group that are either his solos or things that he does with other, so with other artists. So I think, you know, and then Erez had ideas and Marta came in, and I don't know, you know, we just sort of see what people want to do. Each of the curators, what they want to do, whether they want to do something of their own or bring in another artist's voice. This year, for the first time, I'm bringing in a puppeteer who's actually from Bangladesh originally and now is in the neighborhood and was a Muppeteer for many years and is just, you know, going to be her first performance in a garden. So, like that, if that makes sense.
Yes, that's so wonderful. And that's a great way to bring in another guest who's joining us today. We have the wonderful, wonderful, great friend of the program, Martha Lorena Prive, joining us. And Martha, you have a show in this festival. Can you tell us a little bit about that show?
Hi, yes. Our show is called El Tendedero, which translate it as the clothesline, I guess, you know, the place where you hang clothes to dry.
You. Hanging in there, gossip.
What is it?
I think when you hanging in there and using the gossip, the
Yeah,
chisme.
exactly. So it's about like kind of like neighbors that are drying their clothes and they're talking about the new neighbors that just got on the. It's kind of like a little comedy of like errors kind of thing. We're gonna have like people gossiping about other people and then you find out what the reality is of what's happening. So it's a really fun, just like I feel like the outdoorsy of the park really, really lets itself for a great place to put this play. And this play is actually an original piece that one of our company members from Something From Abroad, Regina Romero, wrote for this festival. So this would be the premiere of this little play, this short play, and we're really excited to be a part. As Bonnie was saying, last year Frigid brought another artist, which was, you probably know them, Andrew, as you will, doing their Shakespeare improv. So that was a lot of fun. That was last year. So this year we decided that Something From Abroad would be participating as well. So yeah, I'm super excited.
That is incredible. Oh, how exciting. So, Charles, coming back to you, is there a message or a thought you're hoping that audiences will take away from this great community festival?
Well, our whole purpose is to strengthen the community. There's a lot of displacement in our neighborhood as there is around the city. And we're trying to hold on to the culture and the history of what we have and encourage the new people to join us. So we create a larger, stronger community that way. And that's part of the whole idea of the community gardens and bringing people together. It's a matter of sharing time and space and energy. It's, you know, theater is sort of ritual, is sort of religion in a way. It's church, you know. The whole idea is the communing with each other and sharing that one experience gives us something to talk about, to deal with, to live with each other, you know. And so it's sharing your breath. It's sharing your breath with each other. That's what we're hoping to do, I think.
I love that. That is a great idea. Martha, I want to ask you about your show in particular. You know, is there a message or thought with your show you hope that audiences take away?
Well, that's so funny that Charles said that because because kind of our message is that we are in the play, you see people that are not from the neighborhood moving in, and the people that are in the neighborhood are like, who are these new people? And then at the end decided, you know, that, oh, you are just like us and you are welcome to do the things that we do and we can hang out together and get to know each other. So I think, yes, I'm definitely excited that lines up perfectly with the theme, you know, that we're trying to achieve. But just community, you know, the fact that you should receive people with an open mind and an open heart sometimes I think sometimes can be a little threatening to explore new things, and that can be new people moving in and change. So if like both sides like meet each other, you know, with openness and with respect for like traditions, culture, and like the things that are done within a community, I think that can be a very good build of a relationship. So yeah. And we're hoping people laugh. We're trying to make a comedy. So it's so hard to make people laugh. We're hoping that it's something to enjoy.
That is fabulous. I love it. Roman, I want to start my final question to the first part with you and ask, who do you hope have access to the Long Summer Theater Festival?
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the play that I'm going to put in, because I think it's relevant, if you don't mind. Because this play that I'm directing is coming from a Mexican playwriter that he's well knowledge to wrote plays for kids and teenagers. And this particular piece that I'm going to put on the stage, they have a very... like a relevant topic, and very like for Batin is still like relevant. You know, it's about people immigrant from one country to another country, and particular disintegration of the family. And when there are kids, in this case, it's about two kids, the father left behind, he has to cross to the United States and left behind with the grandma and with another relatives, and how the distortion, first of all, how the destruction of the family, because the economy and all this kind of politician corrupts. But and then second one is the important about how kids start to lose in the childhood, and how kids, orphans, start to be invisible or even like some kind of labor, the kids. So the play that I put in, they call that is in Atlantis, and it's exactly talking about that, about two kids. When the mother died, the father, he cannot maintain the whole house because they are a teacher in the public school. And the father desired to go and cross to United States and leave the kids behind. And this the travesty of these kids, the journey of these kids to, you know, start to find that they are alone and the brothers and all this kind of stuff. And I think right now, particularly this year, right, this election, 45 countries, I guess. I don't know how many countries they're going to desire to have a new president. So I'm also the ways of immigration, the coming from Africa and Venezuela and all these things. So yeah, this piece, I'm really happy somebody passing to me, and I'm hope the people understood, have a more sensibility and empathy, not just to your neighbor, but to people who are very far away from you, you know, Middle East, Africa, China, whatever, because at the end of the day, we are just one race, which is human race.
I love that. Bonnie, I would have you close us out and tell us who you hope have access as well.
Well, I just want to say one more kind of interesting note. Besides doing a couple stories with marionettes and by Vit Hordesh and also the Bengali artist, Vit is going, or the devil puppet is going to announce his presidential campaign. And I think that's kind of important that anybody from the community can participate in that and deciding whether they want to vote for actually a devil marionette or, you know, for other candidates. So I'm just hoping that, you know, like Marta said, there is definitely a sense of humor and that our community comes together and other people come from outside the community. It's, you know, it's a labor of love for all of us. And we really do. We hope new people that have never been to the gardens come, as well as our friends and neighbors. So that's my biggest desire. It's just gathering.
Second part of of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit more. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I want to start by asking a couple of you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites? And Roman, can I start with you on that, please?
I would say when I was a teen, when I was in the junior college, I guess that's what they're calling here, our teacher of dramatic arias gave it to us to put a play they call La Madre, the Mother, from a Russian playwright, Maximo Gorky. And it's about like the Bolsheviks fighting against the Russian Empire. And that guy take me to Bertolt Brecht and Dario Fo, and it's more like a realistic theater, right? So I would say Dario Fo or Bertolt Brecht and the Ruski, I just say La Madre, the Maximo Gorky. And I think theater is still very, very strong weapon to even liberation or to control the minds of the people. But the answer is Dario Fo, Bertolt Brecht, and the other guys from Russia.
Some amazing names right there. Thank you for that. Charles, how about you? What or who inspires you?
Well, the name of my play is Lorca's Last Night, which is based upon the life of and the death of Federico Garcia Lorca. So he's had a huge influence on my way of thinking about theater and what theater can possibly be. He, along with Brecht, I guess, are two of my major influences. I really like combining music and theater. And so that's why I really admire Brecht and how he worked with Kurt Weill. Yeah. And that whole feeling of presentational give and take theater. So you've it's here and then it's gone again. And what is real and what's not fascinates me. And so that's... my piece is about Lorca, and it's a play within a play on what he does in the last night of his life. So that's where I am. I'm just dancing around playing with it all.
I love it. That's fabulous. Bonnie, how about you? I know you said you're more of a producer in this year's festival, but what or who inspires you?
Well, I come from the world of more dance and dance theater and object theater. So I really like work that manifests inanimate objects and animates them, which is why I naturally appreciate puppetry. And I must say that Jim Henson's a big influence on a lot of what I've done over the years, just in his spirit, in his openness and the way. And I worked on a couple festivals that were puppetry festivals And I also, years ago, as a performer, worked with a woman named Ann Wilson, and we used a lot of objects and big, big themes like Faust and things like that. Anyway, so that's sort of, and movement. I like arts, performing arts that have a lot of dance and movement in them, whether it's by objects or people.
It's a fabulous list. I love it. Who doesn't love Jim Henson? That's all I'm going to say. Show me one person that doesn't love Jim Henson. Martha, of course, we've had you on several times. We basically have a seat with your name on it at this point. So I would love to ask you, what changes are you most excited for in the theater, whether they're happening now or that you'd like to see happen?
Well, I'm very excited about seeing theater in another language. And I think... the thing that's always my answer for that, but we are pushing a lot of our, and Roman has a play actually tonight.
Thank you.
So we're having, at least at St. Mark's, we're having more theater in other languages, specifically Spanish this weekend. We're starting a open mic in Spanish. That one starts actually on Wednesday, and it's going to be every other month on the first Wednesday of the month. So I'm really excited to see people willing to show up to theater there as either subtitle or in a language and just like trust that they will understand the communication, of like the bodies. And especially after the pandemic, I think that the community, the indie community in New York has gotten really strong and has gotten really together, like to push forward. And we're all really I don't want to say distressed, but about the budget cuts, you know, the arts, the libraries are getting budget cuts. So I'm really looking forward to having this community get stronger and ask for what they deserve from the government and the funding sources. So, yeah. So I know that the Indie Theater Fund is definitely like always pushing, you know, so we're very grateful for that. Yeah, diversity is always the answer, right?
I love that. Love those ideas. And I'm completely on board with you. Seeing more works done in other languages. I mean, particularly Spanish, which is a language I'm currently learning. You know, it's exciting. Yay. You don't have to speak the language to understand the piece that's being communicated. We've now arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
Well, mine was when my mother and my sister went to see The Miserables. In Mexico City, my sister was just broken with a boyfriend. I don't know, in that moment, I went to the, she told me, and she was crying all the musical.
Oh, bless her heart.
But she was crying not because the play. She was crying because the boyfriend broken with her.
That music just only added fuel to the fire, you know?
I think it's very funny. I mean, we are like teenagers, right? But they were very funny.
Yeah. That's a wonderful memory.
Maybe it's not funny. I think it was funny.
I have too many, but I would say there's a couple. Arianna Mnuchin, if you know her work out of Paris, I saw something extraordinary with about 50 people in it years ago that was just mind-boggling. And you could also walk around and before the show, it was like a very open space and see all the artists sitting at their little tables kind of preparing, and they acknowledged you. So there was like not an official backstage. It was very, very open. So I appreciate that. And then I saw a piece once in gibberish that also blew my mind. And I think it was, again, probably from France, Comédie Française. But they didn't speak anything. They was just blah, 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 you know. And they really got across the... So those things were very impressive to me.
Those are wonderful. I love them. Charles, how about you?
When I was about 4 years old, I grew up in D.C., Washington, D.C., and I remember my family went to the beach. We had gone to swimming somewhere at the beach and came back in the afternoon, and my parents wanted to go to the theater. There was a matinee going on at the National Theater in D.C., and I think we were in the back standing room. It was not sitting at all, and they stood and were watching the thing. There was like I could not see it. I was behind like a wall, but they were on top of the wall watching or sitting on the wall. And I fell asleep at their feet on the floor, on the rug. And I must've taken a nap, and I woke up and my father lifted me up and put me on this wall. And all of a sudden there was this, they were dancing and singing. And I don't know who it was. It was like Ray Bolger or some old guy doing this whole thing in the middle of the afternoon that I had just woken up for this nap, and it was like a miracle or something. It was like so alive, and people were dancing around and singing and laughing, and I had just woken up. So I had entered a dream, came from a dream into a dream. So that's my most vivid memory of the theater at a very early age. I had to have been 4 years. I couldn't have been any older than four at that time.
I love it. That's a great memory. We love hearing like origin stories. That's fabulous. Martha, do you want to add one? Or
I know I need to keep coming up with memories for every time I'm here with you, Andrew. I actually have one recent one, part of the Fringe Festival, I just was sitting there watching Transmasculine Cabaret, and I don't know if you saw this one. You always usually see all the shows, so, and I was just like, I was just so taken by the power of this person's story and by the words and just how there was a place for them to tell their story. Like, just like the fact that where they from, where they come from, and then now the theater is a place where they can almost educate a little bit, you know, educate everyone, denounce people, just like embrace themselves. It was like chilling. It was one of my favorites of the Frigid, and that's why we do it, right? To give these people a voice. I was just like, oh, I wish my people in Mexico that sometimes have many questions about the subject could see this, you know, could see one of these people and understand a little bit more. That was my thought, and I was like, the power of the story, right? Yeah.
That is a brilliant, brilliant memory. Thank you all for those amazing memories. Those are wonderful. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do any of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Well, to any Spanish speaker or Spanglish speakers, we're piloting this. I already mentioned it, but it's an open mic in Spanish, Spanglish, Wednesday, June 5th, then August, the first Wednesday of August. Can't remember the exact date, but frigid.nyc has the information. So we're welcoming bilingual or Spanish speaking artists to do all kinds of things. And we're hoping to build a little bit of a community that likes to jump between the two languages and have a space for that.
It's exciting.
We have a production based on the Conference of the Birds in the fall, but it's not till November. So maybe we can talk about that then, with puppets, music, actors, singers. It's a really big production at La Mama. So yeah, that's what we're working on besides this.
That is also so exciting. Oh, I can't wait. We have to have you back and talk about that.
We're hoping to continue with Lorca's Last Night at a space on Avenue B called 2B Performance Space, I guess it is. But I'm not sure what the dates are right now, but that's what we're hoping to do, to continue with the cast we have and the music we have. So that's hopefully where we're going with this.
My final question for all of you is, if our listeners would like more information about the Lungs Summer Theater Festival or about any of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so? And Charles, why don't we start first with you?
Well, you can reach us at info@lungsnyc.org. So it's info@lungsnyc.org. Easily reached. We have a lot of other programming going on. We have a Harvest Festival, a 10-day Harvest Festival in September this year. We have an ongoing programs in the gardens throughout the summer. So we're always open to other suggestions. If any artists are interested in performing in the gardens, they should contact us and we can try to help them out with that.
Amazing. Bonnie, what about you? If our listeners would like to get more information about you or reach out to you, is there any way to do that?
Well, my organization, goproductions.org, pretty much has information about what we're up to, gohproductions.org.
Wonderful. Roman, if our listeners would like to get a hold of you or get more info, is there a way to do so?
I got the Instagram. There's Roman Primitivo together. And then underline Alvear. And over there you can find me, you can see my couple of my plays, well, a little pieces, a small 1-2 minutes of the plays that I directed already, and also I'm a painter, so you can see my paintings.
Wonderful. And finally, Martha, if our listeners want more information about you or to reach out to you, what's the best way to do so?
You can find me in this podcast, right? No, I'm kidding. I'm usually here. Well, for anything, something from abroad, like our theater company on Instagram is @somethingfromabroad altogether. My personal is @Martha_Preve, Preve. And Frigid has all information about all the things we got going on usually. So that's frigid.nyc. We have so much going on there. So make sure to check that out.
Wonderful. Well, Bonnie, Charles, Roman, and Martha, thank you so, so much for taking the time to speak with me and sharing this incredible festival that's happening. I'm so excited. I'm going to make my way down there to see this. This is amazing. This is the definition of brilliant art. So thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much, Andrew.
My guests today have been the incredible curators Bonnie Sue Stein, Charles Crizel, and Roman Primitivo Albert, as well as the performer and co-artistic director with Frigid New York, Martha Lorena Preve. They joined us to talk about the Long Summer Theater Festival, which is happening June 8th through the 9th at 6B Garden, which is at Avenue B and 6th Street. And you can get more information by visiting lungsnyc.org. We also have some contact information for our guests, which will be posted on our episode description, as well as in our social media posts. But head to lungsnyc.org, check out all this information. You'll probably notice I didn't say tickets because it's free, which is wonderful. It's going to be a beautiful weekend that weekend. You need to come out. It's a wonderful venue right there in nature. Again, the event is the Lung Summer Theater Festival, June 8th through the 9th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to
turn off your cell phones
or your cellulars or tu teléfono.
Unwrap your candies
and keep talking about the theater.
Get a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.